couple of things that you've got to sort of remember is like, success is a debt paid up front. So you've got to put in the work, you've got to put in the hours. Like,
Brian, welcome to Break Your Change with the 9 to 5 podcast. Have a sip of your tea, Mac. We get going.
Thank you so much for having me on, Ben. Obviously, it's been so long that we've been trying to get this done.
It has,
it's amazing to be here.
That's cool. Right. And then, so just start then. What is your business that you're building online at the moment?
So I've been around for about five years online. Right. I've been in business for 8. So it's been like it's been nearly a decade, which is a bit crazy. So
time flies, out, doesn't it? You're having fun, I suppose.
It does mean it's well, fun sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes it comes up with challenges, fun. Eh?
Oh yeah, definitely. So what's been happening lately is obviously I've built businesses. I've been a closer. I've been an affiliate marketer. I've been a digital agency owner, and I've been a coach. I still am sort of the last three. So I've got affiliate marketing strings, I've got coaching strings, and I've got an agency. So what we were finding, especially during lockdown, not the first lockdown, it was like, right, okay, yeah, I was like, everyone's at home, let's spend loads of time together. And you know, I didn't move out of my office, like, at all. Like, I did not move out of my office. I was like, oh my God, what the hell is this? And Kirsty always throws at me.
Like, when you're at home, I suppose, you've always got something to do, ain't you?
Yeah, you don't switch off. I never switch off anyway, like, and Casey always throws at me, she's like, oh, you started this online business of freedom and da 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 da. And I was like, yeah, so why the hell can we not have any freedom? You're just permanently tied to your phone, your laptop, like your desk. She was like, yeah. I was like, do you know what? Yeah, good point. And I was like, started this online world to get away from the boss, which is another story.
Yeah.
And it was a case of like, yeah, I just ended up with a self-created job. And I've used that word quite a lot. In a lot of marketing over the past few years, like self-created job is basically leaving your job or eventually leaving job to have your own online business where you end up working more, earning probably a little bit more, but you've got 10 times more stress, and it's literally just, it's a job. And turning that, and this is where we flipped it in the last few months, like we flipped it to passive income. It's like, I am sick of sat working at a desk, like, even for my own business, like for my own digital marketing agency, for my own coaching. Like, I don't want to work. I don't want to do.
Would you class yourself as lazy then? Or not? Well, no, because you told me about your boxing as well, so you're not a lazy kind of guy.
Yeah, do you know what? Like, I'm not lazy. Well, no, I'm probably one of the hardest workers you'll ever meet, like, when it's, right, this needs to get, like, shit needs to get done.
Yeah.
But it's been, like, there's better ways of doing things, and this was what used to drive people mad in my corporate world. Like, people would be, like, for instance, like, my day job was, like, 5 days a week, and people would be flat out in my role for 5 days a week. And I was for about 4 years. I was like, fucking hell, so this is hard work. Da-da-da-da-da. Just tap my way at the laptop. My only stipulation was I leave at 4 o'clock, so I'll go spend time with the kids.
Yeah.
And that was it. Everyone else was like, you can't do that. You need to leave at 5, 6, 7. I was like, you need to be committed to the railway. I was like, you can fuck off. I was like, I'll leave at 4.
Yeah. Like, this is not me. Like, yeah.
Yeah. And that was the one stipulation I always had, which pissed people off anyway. Literally, my nickname on the railway was the Diva. Because I'm not doing that. You need to do it. No, I don't. I don't need to be fuck all. I was like, I'll do what I have to do. And it was quite
my life, man. So you had that attitude for a long time then.
It's probably why I kept on getting sent off as a kid. Like, referees telling me what I can and can't do. I was like, nah, no.
You're quite stubborn then.
Yeah, 100% me. It's why bosses don't work unless you're the right type of boss. Just, hey, can you do your job? Yes, I can. Do I need to micromanage you? No, you don't. And that is it. Okay, I'll leave you to it. As long as the results are coming in, I don't care. Now, that type of boss, I'll work for all day long, 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. I'm happy with them. But what basically, going back to it, was like 5 days a week. And everyone sort of just accepted that as the norm, right? You're just basically sitting and tapping your laptop 5 days a week. I was like, nah, there's better ways of doing this. And this is where my systems brain kicked in. And this is before the online world. Like, this is where I sit. And I was like, you know what? I was like, you can automate that. You can move that. You can do that. You can do that. And I turned my five days a week into one day.
Right. And it wasn't even. So you sort of compacted it all to say that these tasks can get done a lot more efficiently.
I didn't tell anyone, did a fuck. I was like, there's contract a day rate. I was like, no.
Yeah.
So I'd start at 7 on a Monday morning. I'd be done by half 10. And it was, and I literally got paid Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Did you see how to turn up
in the office? that was the bit, mate.
The bang, you had to be there. Yeah.
They were like, well, I was like, oh, any chance I can go early? No, you need to be like 9, 10 hours a day. I was like, well, I only do nine anyway.
Do, mate.
But I couldn't say that because, okay, Sam will take a day off. Yeah. So I was caught in that limbo. Yeah. So I was like, you know what? Like, it didn't become about the money anymore because the money was fucking good. Like, the money was really good.
These things come up, didn't they? I had a similar situation where people give you a prize job and then you're earning a shitload of money and they say, hang about, Ben, you can't earn this much. Like, why not? You told me you'll give me this much to do this. I did 100 of them.
Joe, don't like people get jealous of people getting ahead. People get jealous of for instance, the planner role that I was in, like two planners side by side. My boss would literally be working 12, 14 hours a day and don't really know what the fuck he done because me and another planner were doing all the work. And I'd have my work done by half 10 on a Monday, and that is how I built my business, my online business.
Right.
So I was sat there, I was like, I couldn't fucking do anything.
I've got to keep myself busy. Yeah, you guys have something else to do.
Yeah, so I used my day job to actually build my online business. But it wasn't about being lazy. It was about, like, there's easier ways to make money. There's easier ways to do things. Like, it's a case of, like, what's the best way to describe this? It's like, just because someone says it takes 40 hours, it doesn't have to.
Yeah.
Like, with automations, with Zapier, with Excel formulas, like, you can condense your job 10 times easier, trigger points and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, that was just like, do you know what? If I don't have to spend 5 hours doing it, I'm going to spend 1 hour doing it. But obviously, I'm still going to get the same result. And it was just about being efficient. Like, something that I've always had imprinted in me for a very long time. And I don't know whether it's because I wasted a lot of time as a kid. Don't really know, but like, time is the one thing you can't buy back. Yeah, so why the fuck waste it? It's the one thing you can't buy back.
You can buy anything in the world, but you cannot buy time. Yet, there must be a time machine. The DeLorean never did work.
Mate, obviously, I was watching a TikTok the other day, and they were breaking down the Simpsons sort of scenario where he is a time traveler.
Yep.
And then I seen another one where Elon Musk is actually building a time machine off on the quiet. Yeah. I was like, it's coming.
These things will happen. Like, I don't know. Yeah, I can't see how. Obviously, I'm not a philosophist or something like that. But yeah, it'll happen like somewhere, won't it? You can't believe some of the things they say we'll have flying cars. Well, that's coming as well.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Like, you're from the UK. You're a little bit older than me, so you'll probably remember the Jetsons. Do you remember the Jetsons?
Yeah, I do.
All flying around in a car.
Yeah.
That's coming, because like, they've got like little one-man helicopters, haven't they?
Oh, definitely, like, BMW doing test runs of self-drive cars as well. And then it's going to take the risk factor out if you shove them in the air, surely.
Yeah.
Brilliant. So,
100%, yeah.
When you were working at your corporate world job sort of thing, did you think, right, I'm going to transition into... why did you think you'll transition onto online rather than think... Because a lot of people work for a company like myself, sort of thing, work for an electrician company and thought, right, I could do this myself. So I started an electrical company. But you sort of transitioned to online.
Couple of things. So first one was, why did I want to come away from a day job that pays really, really well? Why wasn't I happy with that? Like... And I'll never forget driving to pick up my firstborn. Like, he was a day old. Like, driving to the hospital, I was made up. I was like, thankfully, our company on the rail industry shut down for Christmas. And my little lad was born on the 2nd of Jan. So we were off. Like, so driving on the 3rd.
Start of the year.
Yeah, I was like, going to pick him up. I was like, oh, sound. And my phone wouldn't stop ringing. I was like, the fuck is this? And it was my project manager. So eventually I was like, hey, oh. I was like, I'm not going to use his name. I was like, hey, mate. I was like, what's wrong? He's like, oh, I've been trying to get hold of you for 24 hours. I was like, well, yeah. I was like, we've just had the baby. Yeah. I was like, my son's just been born. He's like, oh, right. Okay. I need this spreadsheet sending to the client.
Did he not just hear me the first time, mate?
I was like, So there were two things straight away. I was like, where's the congratulations? I was like,
well, yeah.
Like, well done. Obviously, made up for you. Made congratulations. Like, how is everyone? None of that. I need you to send a spreadsheet to the clients. I was like, but me, I was like, we're off. He was like, yeah, change of plan. Somebody screwed up a project at Man Airport. So we're going into rescue. So I need you to basically send the workings out. I was like, well, I'm on the way to the hospital to pick up my lab. He's like, well, when you get home, send it.
I'll be busy, mate, cuddling this little boy.
Don't get me wrong, I sent it. So at the end of the day, I wanted it because of my contract. I wanted the job to come back to. And that was the first element. Then, so I was like, well, why should I work for someone who doesn't care about my family? And to be fair, you're not going to get that. Like working for anyone, they don't care, or they do on the surface.
Why though? Didn't you? They're not interested because they've probably got a lot of overheads and a lot of stress themselves. So they've
got a lot.
That's what I mean. Someone at the top pushes it down. That's how it works.
Yeah. So I was like, well, I don't want to work for a boss who just sees me as a number who can replace me. Like, because I work bloody hard. Like at that point, I wasn't just working 4 hours a day. I was working 5 days a week, and I was smashing it out. And it was a big project between Liverpool and Manchester. And so that happened, and then so I was like, well, what's that for this? And when I was a kid, like I was always looking at ways of making money. Like I'd jump the fence and go do the chippy run in high school, and I'd get paid for doing it. Like I used to run soccer schools and make some cash off that, because I used to be a football coach. Like these are all, but I started coaching at 13 years old. I was coaching kids at 13. And I was trying to make money from it from 13 years old. I was looking at so many different ways.
That little entrepreneurism in your mind was ticking a long time ago then.
Yeah, I want money. I was like, money, because I sat there and watched my dad chase money. And obviously that took him to London, that took him to rugby, that took him all around the UK. So there's a bit of an issue there. Like, and so the minute I had a kid, I was like, well, do you know what? I was like, I want money, yes. I was like, but I want to be at home. I was like, I'm not making the same mistakes my dad did. So that was one element to why I wanted to kickstart an online business.
Right.
The reason I didn't go and create a planning company is because my dad owned a planning company.
Right. So you saw what it was like at top as well and thought, I don't want that either.
Do you know what? He makes good money. And don't get me wrong, obviously I've got suggestions on way he could do better in terms of operationally or systems-wise. I was like, but if I create a planning company, I'd be in direct competition with dad. I was like, I'm not doing that. So it was a case of I had to go and think of something else. So I created an events company at first, networking events for the rail industry. Obviously, it was the industry I was in. First event, we made 24K profit. Cool. And that was one night event.
Yeah.
And so 24K profits, that's for the US, that's probably about 32K profit.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I was like, well, that is.
For one day as well, yeah, that's good.
Obviously, it takes marketing all year.
It takes time to build up, but it's the initial result.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, so it cost me 12K to put on, I think. And then, so I made 24 plus the 12. So I made about 36 and made 24 back. So I was like buzzing with that. I was like, but the problem with that was because of the specific niche I was in, nobody else could do it. Like in terms of, I couldn't hire people for sales. Like, because the minute you try to open rail to rail, everybody crumbles because it's such a specific thing.
Right.
So I was like, I like it. I made good money. I was like, but it's not scalable.
Yeah.
If it's not scalable, I can't get myself out. So then it went right. Okay. What did I like about this process? And it was marketing and sales. I loved it. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I was like, and I love talking to people on the phone and closing the deals and selling. I was selling the price of the tables were $2,500.
Right.
Table of 10 plus like a load of like perks and benefits. So I was like, yeah, I love the sales, I love the marketing, I love getting people on the phone. I was like, right, okay, let's look at that aspect of the business. And then go and have a look. So I ended up helping my dad's company with marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just spiraled from there. I ended up in sales and closing high ticket deals. And then what I found was a lot of influencers who have high ticket programs. Their marketing sucks. So coming in as a commission-only closer, you were like, well, if unless you sort your marketing out, I'm not getting paid. So I ended up sorting people's marketing out.
Right.
And a lead generation system. And then it was like, well, you can't just be a commission-only closer. And this is where Ian came into the frame. Like at this, around this point, it was like, can't be just a commission-only closer because the income's too unpredictable.
Right.
And I was like, and obviously we've both got families. So I was like, can't happen. And so we fell into like the agency retainer model.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the agency spawned from. And then we had some interesting times there. really, really interesting times. And then from there, one of the packages we ended up selling was a little bit of coaching as well as a bit of implementation.
Right.
And you know what, mate, this is where the coaching story starts again. So obviously, don't forget, I'd just come off the back of 10 years coaching football.
Right.
But that stopped because of the kids, and obviously time goes into the kids, my own kids instead.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember like when I was coaching, I was teaching them what to do. And I woke up on Saturday morning. Kirsty has a lion on a Saturday morning. That's just the thing. She has Saturday, I have Sunday. Yeah, so I remember coming downstairs to a voice note from the client. It was about 8:30 in the morning, still in my dressing gown, nothing else. Kids were playing around, pottering around, and I listened to this voice note in the kitchen, and it's like, oh my god, Brian, like, we've done it. It was like, I've just closed the deal. It was like, oh my god, thank you so much. It was like, it works. You're a legend. Like, and obviously all the singing, the praises, and that.
Yeah.
And the goosebumps that came, I was like, oh,
enjoy my this. God.
I was like,
is there a bit of a light bulb?
Do you know what I mean? I bounced around the kitchen like I just scored in the Champions League final. I was like, yes, get in. I bounced around. I couldn't wait to wake Kirsty up, but obviously I didn't. You never wake a sleeping woman. so I waited, but I bounced around. I shot everybody that like knows my journey. I was like, shot them a voice note, told them what was going on. I was so ecstatic, mate. I was like, this is where I need to be. I was like, I need to be in these sort of like helping people.
Good at.
Yeah, I was like, I'm good at coaching. Like, I'm good at that aspect. I was like, I'm not the best marketer in the world. Mm-hmm. I was like, because there's tons of people out there, like Todd Brown, Russell Brunson, like Dan Kennedy. They're all there. Like, I'm never going to. To be fair, I'm going to try and get to that level.
Yeah, well, that you ain't got a long time. But with your coaching, then, yeah. Did you do any training to become a good coach, or do you think it's all self-taught over years?
At that point, I hadn't done a coach the coaches course.
Mm-hmm.
So I hadn't learned how to be a business coach. I hadn't learned how to be a coach, but had just spent 10 years learning or 10 years coaching kids. So there's a lot of similarities.
Kids, you can learn a lot from, without a doubt, yeah.
Oh, they give you a challenge every bloody day. So I learned a lot from there, and then I learned marketing sales, which I broke it down and used the frameworks in terms of how to teach, how to break down, how to build up
mm-hmm.
in football, and took it to the coaching world. Was that right? Break mm-hmm. things down, and then you just add your layer, add your layer, add your layer, add your layer, and it just fell into place. I was like,
it was clicked sort of thing. Was the people that you sort of followed along the way that influenced your journey, do you think?
Yeah, because there's so many different people you can follow. There's so many different shiny objects, so many different business models out there. Like, yeah, there's
tons of people. So like, many different routes as well. Once you start following someone, can't you?
Yes. Like, the first person I truly followed, really, was Dan Locke. Now, he gets a lot of bad press, and I can definitely see why. But he's an incredible marketer.
That's why he's got the reputation. He's good at what he does. Yeah,
incredible marketer. He was a great copywriter, and he wasn't bad at sales. His sales course, which I invested in, and that's how I met Ian, was it taught me a lot of good, strong, foundational stuff for closing. And that was the first influence that I followed. Very strong on mindset in that course.
Yeah,
and. But the thing with closing is you've got to understand business. You've got to understand how business world works. And that's where corporate really came in and helped. And obviously following my dad's journey in business.
Yeah.
And that's what complimented me as a closer compared to anybody else. Because a lot of closers were coming in brand new, fresh, didn't know a thing apart from just following the framework. Uh-huh. So they didn't understand the emotion and intelligence behind the questions. So Dunlop was the first person I followed as my influencer, because I was looking how to sell my high ticket tables for the events.
Yeah.
So obviously I was like, I need sales training, because obviously if I'm going to be doing this more often, so he's the first guy I followed. Then that led me into a world of a couple of closing deals and stuff like that. And we talk about funnels and this and that, and obviously how to get the marketing.
Down the rabbit hole in a way, yeah.
It just kept on going and going and going. Then I fell into, from Dunlop, I fell into Russell. And I started following Russell, and I absolutely love Russell's stuff, like from his books, like everything.
He's a lovely bloke, very character-wise. Yeah,
he's just so easy to relate, because he's got, because he's got a tribe of kids. I've got a tribe of kids. But yeah, he's still dead happy. It's like fair play to you.
Yeah, still dead happy. Get you make you happy, man.
some days, yeah.
Yeah.
So I followed Russell, and then that takes you into a world, doesn't it? Like, you can do marketing, you can do network marketing, you can do affiliate marketing. I was like, It just goes and goes and goes. But in terms of influencers, they were the main two. Dan Locke, not so much now. Like, I don't really like follow his stuff. I've learned what I need to from Dan.
Yeah.
And he's given me an incredible foundation. And I've really stuck around Russell. Like, he's the person that I've always sort of like gravitated to.
Mm.
Stuck around, like bought a few of his courses, got his array of books. And that's the person I've sort of, it's led me into a few different people, like every now and again, but I'll go and learn what I need from, and then come back to the funnel sort of
foundation in a way,
so that's basically the main two.
Yeah. So when you started on the journey of building your own business, did you think that you had a map of where you're going to go, or did these challenges come along that you thought, I didn't think this was going to come up?
There was definitely no map to start with, mate. It was like, it was just like just getting whacked with a baseball bat every other day. And for a long
shocking
time,
mate,
it was just like, whack, here's a problem. Oh my God. Then you've got to go to YouTube, see if you can solve the problem. Buy a course, see if you can solve the problem. Hire staff, see if you can solve the problem. And it just becomes crazy. And it's a hard, hard journey. It's
the
hardest thing I've ever done. It's the hardest thing I've ever done, and I've got three kids. Like, it's definitely the hardest thing building an online business I've ever done. Is the parts of it, it is like the shiny marketing that they give you. Like, you can build this.
Because they're so good at this marketing technique, yeah.
Yeah, some of that does exist. But if you go into it thinking that is it, and, it's just going to be dead easy, let's go.
Just do what he says. Yeah.
Regardless of online business or business, it's still business. Mm-hmm. And like having that scenario where it's like business is hard. Like if it was easy, everybody would do it and everyone would be a millionaire.
This is the thing.
But it's not. Like a couple of things that you've got to sort of remember is like success is a debt paid up front. So you've got to put in the work. You've got to put in the hour. Like you've got
success
to do
is it. Debt paid up front. I like that. Yeah.
thanks. And it's hard when you come from an employee background and following the system that's been created. Like you go to school, you get an education, you go to work, you get money. Right? And then all of a sudden you're in this business world where you're doing a shit ton of work and it's like, I've got nothing to show for it yet.
Yeah.
And you're like, uh-oh. And how long does that last? Like me and my missus have so many conversations about like, how long are you going to keep doing this for, Bri? Right? And they, obviously, back in the early day, like, how long are you going to keep doing this? Like, you've got nothing to show for it. I was like, yeah, but I've had a good month here and a good month there.
Yeah, yeah.
And she'd be, yeah, but like,
but it was related to, because maybe you had a job that was so high paying, that's what you get related to. Like, because you haven't earned as much as you did, like 2-3 years ago. You're like, you got to start at the bottom. I'm learning a whole new career in effect.
Yeah, and I think that was like, we had that conversation, how long are you going to keep going? I was like, I'm not going to stop. I was like, I'm not quit. I was like, I'm not going to stop. I was like,
it's not an option, man.
She was like, yeah, but like, obviously you were tied to the computer, you were tied to the desk. Like, obviously you're always on your phone when you're supposed to be like, obviously I don't work between 3 and 8. I do not work. That's time for the kids. Mm-hmm. That doesn't stop me getting distracted on my phone and checking this, replying to this person. And,
yeah.
And like, trying to get that away has been really hard. And she was like, this time freedom that you promised me just wasn't there. And I was like, yeah, but not
foundations in.
Yeah, yeah, and that's because that's the element between like employee mindset and business mindset. Mm. Like, she cares, bless her, she isn't in this world. She tries to understand, but she doesn't fully understand.
Yeah, yeah. Like, maybe because they're not interested as much.
Goes away, get paid. No.
This is the thing.
Goes away, get paid. And that's basically the system that we're all surrounded by. So when someone breaks that, and it's like, actually, you're not getting paid. You should go get paid. It's like, whoa, people just can't get it. It's like having that trust and faith and belief to just keep going.
And yourself.
It's hard. Yeah. It's really hard.
Yeah, would you say that from the day where you sort of decided to leave your corporate job and start your own online business and all the journey that you've had up till this day, is the mistakes that you think, I didn't need to do that. I could have skipped that lesson. Tons, yeah.
Yeah. And it comes with it, like, it comes with a lot of you. Hindsight's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Obviously, people watching this podcast, take the hindsight lessons because they are the biggest lessons, like, you will learn. Like, I've invested over 15, maybe 20 grand in courses altogether. Wow. And I've learned, and the problem is you learn, like, a nugget from each and you've got to try and compile all the nuggets.
Yeah, you put it into your own actions in a way, don't you? Yeah.
Yeah, so that's always been like a problem. So she invested so much money, it's obviously been a nice little financial battle for me and the missus. So picking wisely in your courses are always critical. Just don't go for the next shiny object. Like, if you want to buy a course, don't buy it straight away. Hold off for several days.
Benefit, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and take that time to actually think. Like, I seen something the other day that I thought was really valuable. If you don't have to make a decision right now, don't.
Yeah, not life threatening.
No, exactly. It's not life threatening. Wait and see what comes about. Because like I've invested in courses, and then the next day something else has shown up. And you know what? I actually think that's
better. I want that one now. I think it's because I do that as well. Because of the shiny object. When you say you get on a call with someone, or you're reading their sales page, you get all emotional and think, "Yes, I need this. I want this." And like, I think, right, okay, I'm gonna like put a pin in it. And I'll come back to it tomorrow. And I go back to it tomorrow and like, flipping, that's rubbish. Like, they look at it again. You don't need it. You don't want it. It was just the hype that got you in your head. Wind you up.
Yeah. Do you know what a little tip I do, and it probably sounds similar to you. If I click on the ad and I read the sales page and I like the sales page, obviously I want to go back to Facebook and have a look at Facebook and just carry on doing what I'm doing. Yeah. So I'll copy the link. I'll put it in my Google Chrome. And I'll just let it sit there for a little bit, get distracted what I'm doing. And then obviously when I go back through the Google Chrome, go, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no.
Yeah. And I find as well, when you get on these maybe sales calls with some people, it's good to chat to them. Because I've been on a call before and this person, she wanted me to buy a course, but I didn't see how it would benefit myself. And I said, look, I don't know why, but I mean, politeness in me. And I said, oh, I've got to think about it. Oh, what, do you want to put a deposit down so you can think about it and know you've got a deposit down for it? I'm like, well, no, I don't want to tell you that I don't want it. It's crap. It's just being polite, isn't it? Sometimes when you've got to be cutthroat and say, look, man, it's not going to benefit me. I don't want it.
Yeah, and do you know what? Like, obviously, coming from the sales closer side, obviously, I have been in that side. It's like, just tell us. Just, if you don't want it,
yeah.
Do the big man thing and just tell us, go, listen, I don't see how it'll benefit me. I've listened to the spiel. I've listened to you. I've watched the VSL. I've watched the emails and it's not for me. Okay. Thank you. Because you can just close it down and there's no more dead time.
And then I'll have to follow up.
Because to be fair, like, especially for these coaches who, like, obviously do make it, have made it, make loads of money, like, it makes no real difference to them whether you sign up or you don't.
Yeah.
It's all... The whole thing's about the prospect and you.
Yeah, because if you're ready for one sale, then you do one sale and move on, wouldn't you?
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, right, okay, well, is it going to benefit you? Do you see the value? Have we portrayed the value? Have we handled your objections? Yes or no? If the answer is no, you want to look at something else. Okay, cool. Best of luck. You said you wanted help with this, this, and this. I suggest this person, this person, this person. And just go and help them. Like, a lot of problem with sales closes is they come from a place of selling and not from a place of serving. And when you change that, like, when I came from a place of selling, my close rate was 20%. When I came from a place of serving, my close rate ranges, depending on the thing, between 50 and 66.
Right.
That's a shit ton more money.
It's completely a good difference. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's like, do you know what? Like, if you don't sign up, you don't sign up. Okay, cool. No problem.
Yeah, this is here. I think it will help you. That's why I offered you it. But if you, it's your choice.
Yeah, I've been on sales calls where we haven't even spoken about the offer. You're like, so what's the offer? It's like, no, go look over there.
Yeah, I've done it myself. I spoke to a few people where they're saying, well, from what you're doing, what you told me, I don't think this offer is going to benefit you. So I'm not going to say to buy it, really. I'm not going to recommend you buy it. I'm like, really? I like you. I want it now. This is the thing.
Yeah, tell someone they can't have it, mate.
Yeah, I know, yeah. It's funny.
Oh, 100%. It's crazy, isn't it?
You say as well, like you said, you sat there, you worked like, I don't know, like 10, 12 hours a day. How did you master the work-life balance of it all? You say that you cut off at 3 o'clock till 8 o'clock and spend time with your kids. Well, have you always done that?
It's always been ingrained in me very early from working in the rail industry corporate-wise. And as I said, the reason for that is basically my dad was always working away. Like, me and my dad, like, I haven't got the greatest relationship. I can't come to him if I've got any problems. Like, he wants me to, but I just don't feel the connection there to do that, which is obviously a massive, massive shame. Because obviously the relationship building wasn't done all the way through because he had to go and provide for the family. So that took him to London. That took him to rugby. Like, his biggest thing and his biggest focus for a long, long time was just get the mortgage paid off as quick as you can. Nobody can take your house. So I don't know what's happened to him. But he's like, no one can take your house. You've got that safe. It's yours. Mm-hmm. That led him to being a workaholic. Question about it. And so I recognised that, my kid came, I was like, I can't do that. So I've had job offers from like London, like York, Leeds, Scotland. And I've gone, no. Right. And more money, even more money than what I've got.
You've got plans to help your work and your home life, haven't you, end of the day? And like you say, with young kids, it's critical to be around at that age to influence them, if anything.
Yeah, so I was like, do you know what? No, I was like, and I've kept on low on money, so she stayed around. So that was ingrained on me from corporate. And then from working online, it was like, kids go to school, 9 till 3, so like, we at one point we used to have a debate, me and the missus, like, who's taking them to school? I want to take them to school. I want to be there to take them proper off, make sure they go in.
It's a little proud moment there. Get to see your mates. Yeah.
Yeah, go on, off you go. Like, have a good day. Like, chat to teachers. I want to be present in their school journey, because there'll come a day for the eldest, probably in about 2 years, he won't want me to walk onto his door. He won't want to give me
the hug
before he goes in. 7.
Right, yeah, a couple of years sort of everywhere. Ain't cool to knock around mum and dad anymore.
No, so it's like, you don't really have long to make a massive difference in their lives. So cutting off between 3 and 8 is definitely something I've tried to stick to. Don't get me wrong, every now and again, and I've jumped on a call between 4 and 8, but literally, I count on one hand how much I've actually done that in the past 5 years. Wow. Like, I've done that less than 5 times in 5 years. It's like, no, it doesn't happen. And it used to drive people, again, wild. Like, yeah, but I'm going to pay you X amount of money. It used to drive Ian crazy. Yeah, but they're going to pay us this. And I was like, yes, so?
Yeah, that's priorities, man.
I don't care. And it drives people wild. Oh, yeah, but I'm going to pay you three grand to sit on this call for 3-4 weeks at this time. No, thanks. And I've turned away a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've turned away a lot of money for that time. Don't get me wrong, I've got distracted.
Like you said, you cannot buy that. You cannot buy sitting there doing homework with your kids. Yeah.
No, that's one hard challenge.
To do something harder, you think.
oh my God, come on, mate. But yeah, like sitting down and obviously like cooking the tea, sitting down with them at tea time, screaming at them to eat the tea, like reading books, obviously playing games. Like, you can't get that time back. And so it's allocated. 3 to 8, and the minute they're in bed, don't get me wrong, I come back to the office because you deal with Americans a lot of the time.
Yeah. All over the world, business.
You have to allocate some time of an evening to deal with the Americans, which is totally fine. I get it, the missus supports it, like, but there's 2 nights I do not work. I do not work Wednesday night and I do not work Saturday night. They are hair nights. Whether she decides to go to bed early or watch some crap on TV, that's her call.
We've got to watch The Notebook again. Dirty Dancing again.
I've got away with Dirty Dancing. I think Kirsty's a bit too young for that. We've never watched The Notebook, but I am a big rom-com
fan. Oh, do not mention it to her. They're not bad, I suppose, but I've seen it so many times.
They're all the same storyline, but romantic comedies.
But
no, she's not. She'd rather watch a murder documentary. She's weird, mate.
That's not bad. Like a little twist in it. That's a bit interesting, though, I suppose, isn't it?
Oh, no, I hate them. They bore me to death. No, it's like, there's enough negativity in the world. Yeah.
So you like the big football things where there's like Moneyball, maybe, with Brad Pitt.
That's about baseball. I never watched it.
No?
Yeah. I did watch Green Street and I did watch Football Factory.
They're Football Hooligan Factory. So that's your sort of film, is it? Danny Dyer.
No. But they were good movies.
Without doubt.
Definitely, mate. If I had to pick anything, I'd always move to a rom-com first and then usually like an American series. Like, I'm getting into something called The Good Doctor at the moment, which is about an autistic doctor, like surgeon resident.
I think I've seen the advertising. It's flipping. I love that. Yeah, because I got my view on autism and stuff and how it's an evolution of the mind.
Some of it's crazy, especially the memory implications of the people with autism.
The aspect how you can make it adapt you to benefit it, like not label it as something bad.
Oh yeah, like, and that's the problem with Western world, isn't it? Like, we want to put a label on everything, and then we want to hold people back because of the label.
Well, in the UK, we give them benefits.
Yeah.
I remember, I go work again.
My eldest, they were trying to push for autism when he was about 4. He just wouldn't talk to anyone, like, wouldn't talk. He didn't interact, but he couldn't talk, like, he struggled. Right. And he didn't really want to talk to people, deal with people. He was just like, my personal space, fuck off.
That's interesting, mate.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Kirsty is more unsociable than I am, which is quite funny. We've had to go through that whole, like, we want to stick a label on. I was like, no, not yet. You can go away. Like, wait, let the kid develop first. Don't get me wrong, he's definitely got an attention issue. Oh my God. That kid can, like, flip from 1, 2, 3, 4, 20 things. But if you talk to him throughout those, like, time he's flitting, he'll repeat what you told him.
Yeah,
like,
his mind will absorb it. You think, how do you remember? I forgot.
Casey gets so annoyed with me because I do it. Like, I'll be sat there doing something. And she'll be talking at me, you're not even listening. I'll go, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And she'll be like, fuck, I hate you.
Yeah, you did hear it all. I've done the shopping, got the sausages out, got the meat out, done this. What are you on about? Booked your car for a moment, yeah. All right, you've done all that. Yeah, I've done it. I've done it an hour ago. That's why I didn't reply.
Yeah, I acknowledge you.
Yes. Right, so your journey from leaving your job to all the coaching, the closing, where has that brought you to today?
Wanting to earn money and not wanting to do much for it.
Right. So how do you earn money then? That's my vital question.
Okay, so do you know what? Like, when you go through all these, like, micro courses, you pay $97, you pay a couple of grand, and it's quite funny because they tell you basically to hustle on Facebook for your money, correct?
Mm-hmm.
That's as I said, it's hustle on Facebook for your money. And what they actually do by teaching you that, don't get me wrong, the reason they teach you that is because it gets you your quickest win, gets them a testimonial, which then they can use for selling further. It's the lowest hanging fruit. But did you start a business to make a win now or to make multiple wins all the way through your business career? And because of that, it's less attractive.
Yes. People get told what they want to hear.
Yeah, but it's the most important way to make money is to make things long term. Content dies 9 times out of 10 within about 4 hours. Every now and again, you'll have a lucky one on Facebook where it could generate you leads for 30 days, which has happened. I generated 30 leads off one post, no, 300 leads off one post, and it lasted me 30 days. Oh. So it can have its qualities. But what a lot of people teach you is, and don't get wrong, it's what I told people a while ago, is like to hustle on Facebook, which basically gives you the self-created job. Like, you're just hustling, you're DMing people, you're sliding into DMs, adding people, you're hustling like crazy. You sit there at your laptop for 6 hours a day, 8 hours a day. If you make a high ticket sale, yeah, that's great. You might have made 3 to 5K. Awesome. I'll divide that by the amount of time you've just spent, and your hourly rate is probably less than someone who works at McDonald's.
Yes, I was going to say that. Yeah. So, come on.
Ooh, it's a bit. I remember getting a job offer from Mackey's years ago when I was a teenager, and do you know what? I looked at it and went, I just can't bring myself to put the uniform on. No,
I need to. I've got to stack some Domino's pieces for eating the pizza, so I never worked.
You look like a Domino's person. You look like
turn it to your door. That was great. I didn't turn it to the door though, ate it. I was on the scooters back in the day. That was a long time ago.
So basically, what my journey's brought me to is you have to create long-standing assets like that generate you money consistently. Yes. So there's two different types of traffic. Okay. Obviously, two different types of organic traffic. Mm-hmm. So one is the social content, the hustle content. One is the search-based content. So YouTube, SEO blogs, SEOs, all that type of stuff. You have to do both. You cannot just stick to content because that keeps you in a constant hamster wheel motion. You do not build momentum. Okay?
Right.
It's all like as much as I will probably get criticized by every single high ticket coach.
Because you go against the grain. You go against the grain, people doubt you. Yes.
Oh, they hate it. Like teaching people how to get a first high ticket sale. I've done it. I've taught people that. Mm. It's the lowest hanging fruit. Okay. It's the easiest people to sell to. And they get excited more than they realize about business because they make that one sale. When, as I said, take it, divide it by the amount of hours you put in, you probably not make that much money.
Right.
And it's all about understanding how much your hourly rate is worth. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you've got to do things at last. So you have to use hustle content and you have to use search-based content. YouTube, like I didn't post, ironically, I got busy last month and I didn't post a YouTube video for virtually a month. And my view, I was still generating leads without doing anything. I was busy focusing on a big project, which is still generating leads, still getting views, and my business was still building without me having to touch it. That is as close to passive as you are going to get.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but you have to help YouTube and help to fuel YouTube or blogs in order to obviously get it up to where it wants to be. So building passive income, I've dropped a few videos on my YouTube channel about it. Is all about like obviously getting eyeballs. Everything is attention. Attention is the currency on online world.
Yeah, definitely.
So you have to get attention, but you have to get attention for a long period of time. You cannot just expect to keep putting out those value posts and hustling and adding people in other people's groups to make money. You have to, if you want to build a business, you have to put foundations in straight away.
Long-term strategy.
A long-term and a short-term strategy. Go and get your money, obviously, in your DM hustles, but do not like ignore your long-term strategy. Otherwise, you will apparently be a hustler, and you may as well have a job.
That is all about
passive buddies.
So it wasn't a quick answer to that, was it? It was a detailed answer, long-term. Without a doubt. But I understand without a doubt. Yeah, definitely. So this is what you teach: a long-term strategy. Basically, help people start the foundation and sort of progress rather than get quick wins, which is opposite to what everyone else teaches. It's a unique niche.
Do you know, it's crazy. Like, I want you to get quick wins, and don't get me wrong, like, you have to make money to basically justify it to yourself, motivate yourself, to justify it to others that you're doing the right thing. I was like, but you have to do it in a way that complements both. Like, your short-term strategy should feed your long-term strategy, and your long-term strategy will feed you forever.
Right,
and you can promote different things. It's like...
It is like a triangle. I just visualize it, and yet you do this, and it works that way, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a case of, like, you can promote so many different things that you make so much... Like, today's world is the best world you'll ever be in being able to make as much as passive income as you can. Now, passive income, to true definition, is do nothing and make money. That actually doesn't exist.
Yeah, true.
You have to do something, but it's the level of passive income. So it's on a scale. Like, so for instance, like organic marketing in the coaching industry is not passive. Okay, you have to work your ass off to get that sale. Like the amount of hustling you do, that's not passive. Making money on YouTube via YouTube AdSense is very passive. You create a bunch of videos for a long period of time, do your SEO, rank, and off it goes. And it will always make you money. Okay? But it's work up front. Success is a debt paid up front. So circle back to the front. Yeah, it's like you have to put that work in on these YouTube videos and do the miles, but that will pay you forever because you'll probably put affiliate links in for stuff you recommend and talk about in your description. So people who are finding your videos 3-4 years later, you can go into Google type or YouTube, type in anything. One of the top videos have been around for 3-4 years.
Yeah, definitely.
With 100,000 views. And it's like, that's fantastic. Like, that means that guy's made money off YouTube for 3-4 years with that one video. That one video probably took you an hour to create. And yeah, it's made you money for it. Obviously, the affiliate links that are there, people are clicking, leads that are building your email list, your YouTube AdSense, like it all adds up. And it all
makes
it. Yeah, like I know she chasing the high ticket deals are great, and don't get me wrong. I do have high ticket programs. I have low ticket programs. I promote other people's programs.
It's about having an array of products, sort of thing, yeah, within different content.
Yeah, and what people ignore. Yeah, what people ignore is like they say, you know, like if you have one stream of income, you will never be rich. If you have seven, you will be. And they look at that from a personal point of view. You have to take the exact same thing and go boom in business. Okay, so I promote softwares that I absolutely fucking love, like I've used for years. Like I promote them to my heart's content, not actively, but passively. We're in my digital marketing agency, like people use ClickFunnels because I tell them to use ClickFunnels. Mm-hmm. People use ActiveCampaign because I tell them to use ActiveCampaign, and I make money off that. Like it goes just nice, simple ways of, and this is going back to Russell's core scenario and the way he promotes ClickFunnels. If you strip it all the way back and go, right, okay, how does he sell ClickFunnels? He doesn't sell ClickFunnels. He sells a course that makes you need it. He sells a book that makes you need it. He teaches you how to build, like, and that's how he sells ClickFunnels. It's the exact same for your affiliate marketing products. So if you're selling a software, right, okay, create a PDF, create an ebook, create a mini course that teaches someone how to use something you're promoting, like how to get the best out of a 3-day challenge, like how to get the best out of this, like how to leverage this in a different way, and circling your micro products around the stuff you want to make money off. The micro products will probably pay for your ad spend when you get to ad level, but it also fuels everything. And then those are the things that make you money. Like, don't get me wrong. Obviously, my thing is, it's called Passive Buddies. And like, I've got a Facebook group. Ironically, I'm just about to start a podcast in the next few weeks. Hey, so I'm back.
Well, I can
I'm
tell back, that because you love to talk as much as me.
Oh, yeah, mate. I can talk all day, mate. It's probably because I sit here in the office. So, like, the whole thing is about building like multiple streams of income. So, like, I've got Forex making me money. I've got crypto making me money. I've got affiliate marketing making me money. I've got YouTube making me money. Yeah. Like, all these different things. And I've got my own courses, products, agency. Like all of these things, that's it. I don't have to work massively. It's just all about attention. Getting the attention.
You grow over time.
Everything else, mate. 100%.
Well, it sounds in a lot of detail and very interesting. So if anyone is watching this and thinking, hang about, I need to ask a few more questions or maybe go over that again. Well, they can always rewind and watch this podcast or listen to this podcast once again. But if they need to talk to you, how would be the best way for them to contact you?
So the best way is actually, ironically, drop me a DM on Facebook is one way.
Yep. We'll leave in the show notes sort of thing, a link to your profile, Brian Mills, yeah?
Yeah, but the way I'd like people to go and where I think people should go, because the most value is going to be in my new Facebook group that actually gets launched on Monday the 28th of Feb.
28th, right.
So I don't know when this is going to get released.
Before then, no?
Cool if that. Okay, cheers. Appreciate that.
No worries.
So my free Facebook group, Passive Buddies, is launched on Monday. And this is where we're going to teach you absolutely everything about passive income. The system.
Is it active now? So we can leave a link to it in the description as well.
Yes, mate. Yes, it is.
Yeah. So people can be on the waiting list to be entered. Like.
Yeah, mate. We've got people already sat in the members request waiting to come in. So I can drop you that link and people can come and join Passive Buddies. And it's all about passive income streams and the marketing that fuels the passive income streams.
Brilliant. That's going to be, well, I'll be on that wait list, I can guarantee you.
I said, me link's in the cover photo.
Right, yeah, definitely. Well, and also, one of my last questions is, how have you broke the chains to your 9 to 5? But I already know have you? I'm not going to ask you it because you've answered that question a long time ago. And then also, one of my other questions, which you've also answered, is you wouldn't take a job if someone come along and offered you more money than you're on now to work a 9 to 5, because of what you've built and the direction you're going in, you wouldn't go work for someone else anymore.
Ironically, someone offered me a job last week in the industry. And you know what? It's an extra £500 per week compared to what I was on back then. And do you know what? I looked at it and went, can I automate it?
Can I do this as well? Yeah,
I've not even told them about this because they don't follow me on obviously Facebook, but I looked at it and went, do you know what? I was like, I'll have a chat with you. I was like, but in my head, obviously the conversation I've already had with Kirsty is I can't automate it, outsource it, and leave it to 2 hours a week. I ain't taking it.
Yeah, it's a great attitude to have. I love the way you think. Definitely. It's cool. Like, you can't do it. You won't pass up an opportunity.
No, because like the first thing he said was like, oh, I was like, is it working from home full time? He went, you probably have to go to the office 2 days a week. I went, if it's not full time,
where's the office? Right? London. Yeah, no, right.
West Brom.
Oh man, that's near me. Yeah, down the
road. Yeah, so I was like, they were like, I was like, if it's not full time from home, I ain't interested. So you went back, yeah, they'll make it full time from home for you. Okay, right, okay. What's the job like? Where, who's it for? And basically send me what your work bank is. So I can now look at it and go, is it actually going to take me too long to do it?
Yeah.
And can I train someone to do it for me?
Right. Yeah, so these questions that arise.
Yeah, so like, obviously, technically then, it's a passive income stream. I don't have to do anything. You can send me an email, and that email will automatically forward to my team, who'll deal with it, who'll reply, and then I'll just copy and paste and send a reply back.
Cool. Brilliant. Well, thank you very much for coming on. And it's been a bit of an interview / coaching by the sounds of this. Like, I'll watch it back as well. But it's been good. It's been interesting, man. I like the way you think.
Cheers, mate. Yeah. The lazy way, yeah? The lazy but effective way of thinking.
Yeah, definitely. The nice way of thinking.